A couple weeks ago, I was preaching on bitterness, and we talked about having a picture gallery of the who, what, when, where, why, and how when someone offends us. And really what that comes from is an inability or an unwillingness to forgive someone. When we won't forgive, we memorialize the instance. We paint a picture, and we talked about the different rooms in our hearts, and one of those rooms is a picture gallery, and we hang in there pictures of people that we've chosen not to forgive. Doesn't matter why, doesn't matter who, doesn't matter when, it's just our picture gallery. And when unforgiveness blooms, as it's carefully nurtured and cared for, it produces bitterness. And bitterness is like a portrait that we've hung, and it has the who, what, when, where, why, and how that happened. How that hurt came to be the reason for my justified bitterness. So, we're going to look today at how we can dismantle the bitterness so that not only will we no longer be infected by it, but we also will no longer infect those around us. Because we've all been weary or leery of someone because someone said, right? You know, you really have to watch out for that person. I mean, they're real nice and everything, but they'll talk about you, right? We've all heard that. Well, what they're really saying is, that person said something unkind about me to someone else who came back and told me. And I'm not going to forgive her for that or him. I'm going to paint a portrait. And I'm going to hang that. Even though, right, biblically, if anyone offends you, you're supposed to do what? Well, yes, forgive them, of course. But you're also supposed to fix the situation, right? In Matthew 18, it says, if someone offends you, go talk to them. How are you? Hey, I heard you're talking about me. If you've never done that, it's precious. And I've both done that, and I've had people do it to me, right? Because we're all guilty of gossip. Amen? Those of you, if you've gossiped, raise your hand. Okay, if you didn't raise your hand now. Because you're the liars, right? Sorry, Mike. That wasn't meant for you specifically. But we do that. But Matthew 18 says, go to the person who's offended you and work it out. And then it gives this whole litany of how to work it out so that you can easily forgive them and that they're your brother and sister in Christ. Because we're called to be unified, we have a job to do. We're here for a purpose, and we need to work together. But if there's, and there's lots of these hanging on our walls, it becomes very difficult. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 and 31, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Well, as we go on, verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is a hard topic, and it's hard for a number of reasons. We're going to look at it, but there's only one cure for bitterness, and there's only one defense to keep it from taking root in the first place, and that's, of course, to forgive the offense. So today is an awesome day to talk about forgiveness because Jesus often offered it and gave it. He taught it. He modeled it, even on the cross, and accomplishing it once and for all, he was crucified and rose again. So Easter is a great day to talk about forgiveness. Although, to be honest, if I were to ask you to raise your hands, and I'm not asking, so please don't. If I were to say, how many of you have a person in your life that you have a really hard time forgiving? A lot of us could raise our hands. Because forgiveness can be hard. But we're going to talk about what's really hard and what's really not. So there's a few things we're going to look at. Today we're going to look at what forgiveness is. Second, we're going to look at God's forgiveness for us. Then we're going to look at the hard one, forgiving each other, and what that looks like. And then we're going to look at the hardest one, forgiving ourselves. And I'm actually not going to preach on the last one. I'm just going to let the Bible preach on the last one. So forgiveness, the definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the release on the part of the creditor or offended party of any expectation that a debt will be repaid or that an offender will receive punishment for an offense. Notice the word there. Any expectation. None at all. When describing the removal of an inappropriate offense in this way, the removal does not condone the behavior or suggest approval for the offense. It doesn't mean that you're okay with it or that you've worked out all the issues or anything. It just is, there is no expectation of repayment of the debt, that they're going to make it right, that they're going to get punished for the offense. That's all it is. That's what forgiveness is. If you owe me money, it would be me walking up and saying, I don't expect to get paid back. Now, how many of you are fluent in sarcasm? Right? So there's, you know what? I know times are difficult, and I am giving you this money. I don't want it back. And then there's like, yeah, like you were ever going to pay me anyway. Okay, so there's two different things here. Forgiveness is saying, I don't expect repayment for this, or I don't expect a person to be punished. That's really hard. Because every once in a while, yeah, we want them to be punished a little bit, right? I mean, just take off a fingernail or something. Nothing drastic. Just something, right? When someone pulls in front of us or different things. In my years in ministry, I've had to teach and talk about forgiveness fairly often. But we've overcomplicated what forgiveness actually is. We've made it this long, drawn-out thing. Well, you know, forgiveness, there's this and there's this, but not if there's this. And then, of course, we can't forget this. It's not the way forgiveness is meant to be. In short, forgiveness is the release on the part of the offended party of any expectation that the offender will receive any punishment for what they have done. Wow. That can be kind of hard. Because when someone hurts us, we kind of want it to be fixed. If someone hurts us, we want to make sure that they never do that again. Not to me, not to anyone else. Really, we just don't, right? We've all been there. If you haven't been there in person, you've certainly been there on the freeway, right? Someone cuts you off, and all of a sudden, they have no reason to live any longer. There's no reason for that. Like, why throw them in the bay, right? We know what that's like. Or you're waiting for a spot, the only spot. At that, oh my goodness, before the plague hit, there was that outlet mall, and we went there around Christmas. And, like, people are lined up almost to the freeway just to get in the parking lot. I'm like, what are they selling in there? And, like, you're waiting and waiting for a spot, and then you finally get a spot, and they're, now that your family's already done shopping, and you're waiting for a spot, and someone pulls in, takes your spot. See, why abolish the death penalty? There's a need for it, right? We know what it's there for. One of the most beautiful pictures of God's forgiveness and his forgiveness for us was offered on the cross. Luke 23, 33 and 34 says, "And when they came to the place that is called the Skull or Golgotha, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments." Gosh, can you imagine? Like, they had no idea who they were crucifying. And if they had but known, would they have done it anyway? We have a picture of the men who are crucifying Jesus on a cross between two thieves. He could have saved himself. He could have called down the heavenly host. He could have done so many other things that we can't even imagine. The men were doing their job. We all get up. We go to work in the morning. We do our job. They weren't even aware that what they were doing was an offense. Hey, this is what I get paid to do. I'm a soldier. These people are enemies of the state. I'm supposed to crucify them. Unaware of their offense, Jesus showed them grace. He showed them mercy. He practiced forgiveness. He neither required, expected, nor wanted the men to be punished. He released them from their debt. He asked the Father to forgive them. They weren't even aware of their jeopardy, and he let them go. God's forgiveness is a gift. It is no way reliant upon us, thank goodness. We cannot earn it, buy it, barter for it. We're not good enough to deserve it, certainly. Our sin is deeper than skin deep. Right? It doesn't take until we become old enough to sin. The Bible says we're conceived in sin, this idea of original sin. Adam and Eve blew it in the garden. Eve first, of course. And then through the generations, by the way, you have to forgive me. Oh, we haven't got to that part yet, but you'll get to it. Through the generations, that sin has passed down. From the beginning, from our conception until we die, we're sinners. We may be saved by grace, but we're sinners. We're born sinners. So our sin is deeper than skin deep. So what is required? Well, Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. So repent, of course, is literally the act of turning back and going the opposite way. If you're headed in a sinful direction, to turn around, to repent. It means to tell the Lord, Lord, I recognize that what I've done is an offense to you, and I'm not going to do that anymore. By the way, if you have your Bible, and you should have your Bible, but if not, I'll forgive you. Turn to Acts 3:19. I know where Acts is, really. I'm going to actually put on my glasses for this because my Bible is itty-bitty writing. And the reason is because the verses that follow that are some of my favorite. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. Verse 20. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time. So repent and turn back. The times of refreshing, literally from the throne, will come to you. Just such a beautiful picture of what God's forgiveness, if we're but willing to repent. And then 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. Is there anything you can do that God cannot clean? So there's only one unforgivable sin, and that's rejecting Jesus Christ. When someone comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repents of their sins, they're forgiven from all their sins, including those that were committed before they were ever believers, and the sins they don't even remember, and the sins they will commit in the future. It's the blood of Jesus that covers our sins. Romans 5, starting in verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. While we were weak, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the true story of the ugly duckling, right? When we were at our ugliest, still, Christ died for us. He didn't say, well, I'm going to wait and see how he does. He says, no, I'm going to die for their sins. Not because we're good, not because we're righteous, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And this is what we celebrate today. Having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved by him from the wrath of God himself. Forgiveness, now this is the neat part, forgiveness is an attribute of the Father that has been conveyed to us. So there are attributes of God that can be conveyed to us, and there are attributes of God that cannot be conveyed to us, right? So, for instance, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, those things we can do. they're gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they're attributes of God. But we can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, forgiveness is also one of those. We truly know love if you've been saved. You truly know love because you've truly been loved with an unconditional love. Not that you were good, but while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Well, it's the same with forgiveness. If someone has not been forgiven, we can scarcely expect them to forgive, because that is such a foreign concept to the world. Right? The world thinks, hey, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Someone hurts me, I hurt them, you owe me a debt. I'm going to make sure you pay that debt with interest. Jesus says, yeah, that's not how we do things. Our ability to forgive is an outpouring of the forgiveness offered to us by the Father. That is to say that only those who have been forgiven are really, truly able to forgive. But sometimes we're reluctant to offer that has so freely been given to us. Right? It's like, and I will tell you, and I'm going to say this, she's watching. I finished my sermon a while ago. I put the finishing touches on it yesterday, and then I rewrote it. I was like, okay, let's start over again. And not long after that, I got a phone call. And there was a woman I haven't talked to in a while, but she attends a church I used to pastor. And I think I told her I was going to talk about her today, but just a person I love dearly. And she started talking about people she needs to forgive. And as we went through the conversation, I realized she is repeating my sermon exactly in order, point by point. And I was like, well, clearly I was listening, because she's already got my sermon down. And I told her, I said, I'm going to send you my sermon, because all the questions you're asking, I wrote them. And so I sent it to her. I just emailed it to her. She goes, well, I'm going to watch. I said, okay. A neat woman. While we were weak, Christ died for the ungodly. When we're at our worst, Christ dies. Literally, we celebrate today having been justified by his blood. We shall be saved by him. Gosh. When it comes to forgiving others, there are a number of things we need to take into account. First of all, forgiveness is a choice. Now, you're really not going to like this next sentence. So if this sentence bothers you, I want you to call Kenny Cabral after 11 p.m. and tell him. Don't do that, because his wife will not like that. Forgiveness is a choice, much like choosing the pair of shoes you're wearing today. You're like, well, Pastor, I didn't think about my shoes. Yeah, you thought a little bit about it, but you're wearing shoes. Is there anyone not wearing shoes? Just make sure. Okay, everyone's wearing shoes. You're like, Pastor, forgiveness is not that easy. Yes, it is. Actually, yes. We can choose to forgive, or we can choose to withhold forgiveness, but it's a choice. It's a one-time choice. You make the decision. You either choose to forgive or you choose not to forgive, just like the shoes or the clothes you're wearing. You're like, Pastor, you do not know the people I have to forgive. Yes, I do. We all have them in our lives. In fact, we're all that person in someone's life. right? When we are put in a position of forgiving someone, it is almost always because they offended us or hurt us in some way. With that comes a lot of emotion, a lot of pain, a lot of agony. And I'm not in any way arguing that we should downplay that in any way. See, we can choose to forgive them and still acknowledge that we need to work through some issues, right? If someone kills my dog, I can forgive that person, but I'm not going to ask them to watch my dog again, right? If someone does something that hurts me, I can choose to forgive them. It's a choice. But that doesn't mean that I don't have to work through some issues, that maybe we together don't have to work through some issues, that we have to talk about them and really get to the heart of why things happened. But that's not unforgiveness. That's dealing with issues. There's two different things here. So first, forgiveness is a choice. Second, forgiveness is commanded. Now, this is the one people don't like, right? Because you're like, well, Pastor, you didn't even give us a scripture on forgiveness being a choice. Well, no, because if it's commanded, then you can either choose to do it or not do it. So how many former military do we have in here? A few. So if your commanding officer said, soldier, I want you to do this, and you did that, well, that was your job. You didn't get applauded for it usually. It's what you're supposed to do. But if your commander said, do that, and you said, hey, why don't you take a hike? I'm busy. How would that go over? Not well. Now, I wasn't in the military, but I was married to the military, and I was raised by the military. And in either case, right, it doesn't go well. You just don't do that. Well, it's the same, but you can make a choice. You can do it or not do it and suffer the consequences. So the second is forgiveness is commanded. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Notice that word there, must, right? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. It's a command. It's not a choice. It literally is a command. You must forgive. You say, well, Pastor, remember, you don't know these people. Because we've been forgiven, we must also forgive. It's not a choice for believers. An unwillingness, now this is where I get myself in trouble again, an unwillingness to forgive often reveals a prideful heart. In fact, we just saw that, right? Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. An unwillingness to forgive often reveals a prideful heart. If we think back to the definition of forgiveness, which is forgiveness is the release on the part of the creditor or the offended party of any expectation that a debt will be repaid or that an offender will receive punishment for an offense. Jesus died so that we would be forgiven. Amen? How many times did God sin? Yeah, this is a real question. How many times did God sin? None. And yet, he extended to us forgiveness, and not at a small cost, right? He extended to us forgiveness at the cost of the life of his Son, Jesus Christ. So then if we say, I just can't forgive. And yet, here's the funny thing. Yet, we rely on his forgiveness. We who sin and rely on forgiveness, then withholding that from other people. See, it's a pride thing. Somehow, then, I've just put myself higher than the Lord. He says, yeah, don't do that. Failing to forgive causes so many issues. It causes bitterness as well as division and strife and clamor in the body. Bitterness and unforgiven can't be hidden. It comes out. It comes out in the way we speak and how we act. When we say, you know, I just don't trust them. Even in, you can see it in people, believe it or not, in their habits. I know people who won't drive in certain neighborhoods. Right? I know people who won't shop in certain stores or eat at certain restaurants because, you know, they're in that part of town. So, one of the things I noticed, like, the best place to get authentic Chinese food is in what town? Chinatown, right? And it's the same for Mexican food. It's the same for Korean food. It's the same, you name it, that's where it is. And that's where you go. If you really like that food and that's the food you want, you go to that part of town. But it is funny to me because people will say, you know, I just don't go to that part of town. What they're saying is, I have a picture of a who, what, when, where, why, how that's hanging in my heart. I'm not going to go to that part of town, and you shouldn't either. And we see this picture. We have one of these pictures, by the way. I think Arlie and Ben. If I can take this apart. Remember in Ephesians 4, we had anger, slander, wrath, bitterness, clamor, and malice. It said, hey, all of those things, you got to get rid of them. When someone offends you, the first thing you're going to have usually is anger. And usually when you're really mad is when you talk to someone, right? You call someone and say, you know what they did? Do you know what Pastor said to me? Or do you know what whoever? Or they took my spot. Or I shopped at this store and they told me I had to wear a mask. Well, we're going to put that on YouTube, right? You see it all day long. But really, what Ephesians said is, I don't know if I can do this. Yeah, we have to take that off. It's not my fault the gyms have been closed. We're not saying that what a person did was okay. And anger, by the way, the Bible says it's okay to be angry, but do not sin. Yes, well, because, of course, anger is an emotion that God gave us, and anger is okay as long as we don't sin. We're not saying that what someone did was okay. We're not condoning it. It's not like, yeah, you know what, for everyone else it's bad, but for them we'll let it go. But failing to forgive causes issues. And we have to start taking these things out. Now, wrath is like anger to the extreme. But it's funny because the more we see this world happening, the more we're seeing this coming out. How much anger does it take to kill somebody? Hey, people are killing each other. And so we want to peel away these things. And it's work. It's always work. Because quite frankly, a lot of times we think people really deserve it, right? I mean, when someone hurts us or hurts our family, here's my sensitive spot. If you are unkind to my family or my staff, particularly, these things, I'm going to keep them because I'm going to need to put them back up, right? Because I get angry, I get hurt. These are people I defend. They're people I love. They're people I pray for every single day. My staff, my elders, my church members, my family, you know, people that I pour my life into. And if you hurt them, I struggle really, really hard. And we all do. It's not like, oh, look, they ran over my cat. That's okay. We'll go get another one. No, if you love cats, you're hurt by that, and it's an emotional impact, or a dog, or if someone you love gets hurt. Finally, forgiveness is required. Gosh, we hate this. This is the really hard one. As I was saying to the woman yesterday, who's a dear friend of mine, I said, oh, by the way, you know, I don't remember exactly how I worded it, but something like, and clearly you're not saved. She's like, what? I said, you're not saved. And she goes, yes, I am saved. I mean, she went to my church. I know she's saved, and she's a dear friend, and I love her dearly, and she really is saved. And I'm like, no, but you said you're not going to forgive that person. And she goes, well, yeah, but that doesn't mean I'm not saved. Oh, but Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, oh, by the way, how many of you have your Bibles? If you would open them up to Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. How many of you have red letter Bibles? Oh, okay. So for those of you that have red letter Bibles and you have found Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, what color are these letters? Oh, they're red. Who said them? Oh, Jesus said them. Does Jesus ever lie? No. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Gosh, I hate that verse. Right? So now not only is it commanded and is it a choice, but my salvation actually doesn't depend on it. Your salvation is evidence of it. See, if you're saved, whether or not you're willing to forgive is not an issue. If you're truly saved because you know what it's like to be forgiven so totally, you're willing to give that. Not because that person doesn't deserve punishment, but because you don't deserve to sit in the position of judge. They may very well deserve punishment. That's between them and God, but not you. You let that go. Because actually, forgiveness has nothing to do. I'm just going to use poor Caleb here. Forgiveness, if I need to forgive Caleb, and there have been a few times. I'm sorry. That's not true, really. But now his sister Amanda, that's a whole different issue. But because Caleb is innocent in my eyes, if I choose to not forgive Caleb, does that impact Caleb in any way? No. He's not going to get paid any less for what he does around the church, right? Because I don't pay him anything. And just because he's innocent in my eyes doesn't mean he's going to get paid more. Forgiveness is about me. It's evidence of God's work in my life, and if I refuse to give it, it's evidence of God's work in my life. Either way, good or for the bad. But it hurts me. It causes division in the church and strife and clamor and wrath if I don't offer it. If I forgive Caleb, and we've all done this. I've walked up to people and said, I just want to tell you, I am so sorry. And they're like, why? And I'm like, well, because they're like, oh, okay. Right? Literally, they were clueless that I've offended them, but it bothered me, so I want to go. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. The beautiful thing about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is that we begin to look more and more like Jesus every day. Of course, this is not talking about his physical form, but his attributes, this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and of course, the ability and the willingness to forgive. Oh, by the way, Pastor, if someone offends me and I forgive them and they offend me and do the same exact thing the next day, okay, I can forgive them again. And then, well, you know, the Bible says 49, you know, that whole thing, like, but there's a limit, right? Of course. Luke 17, 3 through 4. Pay attention to yourselves. Your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Now, we would say, well, clearly he's not being genuine. Oh. Unless, of course, he's not being genuine, in which case you can just decide to kill him. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Again, Jesus answers, yes, we have to forgive. Finally, I want to talk today about forgiving ourselves. Believe it or not, everyone has a past. We may look at some people and just say, you know, they're just the kindest, sweetest people in the world, and I can't imagine they've ever done anything wrong, but they have. And if they haven't done it, they've thought it. And if you've thought it, you might as well have done it. That's what the Bible says. We're all sinners. We may be saved by grace, but we're all sinners. When we become Christians, we begin a journey that changes us and changes us to look more like Christ. When we look back and see how ugly we were or how ugly our choices were, we often have a hard time forgiving ourselves. This is true of decisions we make sometimes after we become Christians. Guess what? We're still sinners. We all still sin every day. We still make poor choices. We still need forgiveness. We still need grace. And the Bible gives us some glimpses of God's overwhelming love for us, even when we see ourselves as unlovable. So 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. all of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And Romans 8:1. There is therefore now a whole bunch of condemnation. You know what? Because people are just slime bags. Oh, wait, no. Sorry, wrong verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And finally, we're going to go back to Philippians because that's where all of this started, right? Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You have a past. Everyone does. That's okay. See, God is able to forgive, and Jesus did the work on the cross so that his blood would forgive all your transgressions. As we leave today, it's awesome to know that our sins have been forgiven and covered by the blood. Sometimes it's hard to forgive until we remember the price that was paid that we might be forgiven, becoming new creations, no longer bound to the past, as we press on toward the goal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that Jesus did on the cross. We thank you that 3 days later, he rose again. He rose again that all clamor and anger and wrath and malice would be able to be removed, that we would be forgiven. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Truly, you are an awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.